to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Abu Mass.
So I was having a conversation this weekend that was very much about sort of feeling like all of a sudden you're placed on top of this roller coaster, and one, you don't know necessarily how you got there. Two, it just starts taking the hell off, right? Like you're on the roller coaster and you can't see the tracks in front of you. It's almost as if they're being like fed in as you're upon it. And that terror of like, where the hell are we going? When does it end? And hold the fuck on, because I'm going to just ride the wave and figure it out. And I'm going to be sort of white knuckling it in a manner of like, not sure where we're going, but this is super fun because I'm doing loop-de-loops and I don't know how it's going to play out. And like that, almost that like loss of power of like, how did I didn't get on here. I don't remember getting myself on here, but here I am. And now how do I get off? But I can't get off. So I have to just give into the ride and the sensation of being in control and equally out of control at the same time.
I think it's interesting that you see this as tracks showing up. Because during eclipse seasons, I always see it as being set adrift at sea on a boat that you have no control over. Like you don't have an oar, you don't have a motor, you don't have a compass, you don't have anything. Right. You don't have anything. Just gotta ride it out. Like, oh, I hope land shows up. Wow. But you've got a lot of Capricorn and I've got a lot of water. So of course I would see it as sea. Of course you would see it as tracks.
Right.
But I think it's important to recognize that we do ride it out and it does have us land somewhere. Mm-hmm. This is a skill that we all, humanity, is having to learn outside of a system that normally controls us. Mm-hmm. Is when we get outside of a system that's falling, the new skill that we have to develop is trusting life rather than a system. Mm-hmm. Trusting that life is delivering us to where we need to be and accepting how vulnerable it is to just hold on.
Yeah, it's super vulnerable. And it's also like some of the most liberating and equally terrifying work that I've ever embarked on. That it's like, you know, like I was telling one of my girlfriends this weekend, I was like, I feel like I just had open heart surgery and like it's so exposed and raw and like pieced back together that like I'm like, oh, this is how you breathe again. I didn't know. And it kind of hurts, but it's also kind of so invigorating that I can take a deep breath again. Like, it's like that mixture of how sweet it is to be able to breathe. And then also like, oh, there was pain and like this loss happening.
Yeah. That vulnerability is going to crank. It's going to keep cranking up because the North Node is going to go into Cancer starting in November. And we're having an eclipse in Cancer now. That vulnerability, I call it brave vulnerability, because we can't create new worlds from under the bed. We've got to come out and expose ourselves to the unknown in order to create anything new. And we don't know how it's going to show up. It's meeting life halfway. You don't know how life is going to show up. All you can do is do your part and show up and try and meet it in the middle. And that I think that's an interesting combination of open heart surgery and taking a big deep breath. It's like being born and being put back together through surgery at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? Like it feels really good to go, I can breathe. But then it's like, oh God, I need repair. I need care. I need a bandage and soup. You know, I need a lot. It's okay to say, I need a lot. I'm not saying be needy and drain people out, but when we're exposed like this, we have to be our own best advocates and go, I need, could you just listen to me for 10 minutes? You don't even have to help me solve a problem. I just need to talk. Mm-hmm. Because like, wow, this is a lot.
Yes. I keep having that image of a snake losing its skin and shedding its skin come to mind for the past couple of days. And so like, I believe a lot about like Native American medicine, where certain animals show up as totems for you, or they will show up as markers and messengers, right? And so I always see snake as this form of transformation. In the shedding of the skin is, you know, releasing that which does not serve you any longer and letting go of the things that have held you back, the systems that have helped you stay small, and then being able to release them in order to come bigger and more in that like spaciousness of who you truly be. And I keep thinking about that, how a snake must feel when it is shedding its skin, because they can't really move a lot during that time. They have to reflect. They have to be very conscious of staying inward and like just focusing all of their effort on getting that dead skin off of them and not like, I'm going to move through life or I'm going to like just rip it off real quickly. You know, like that very rawness of like, I'm going to stay and I'm going to make sure I'm in a place that is really like where I have access to food and where I have access to water and shade so I don't die in the middle of this. Like they have to be very intentional about where they set themselves up in order to release that, which is dead to them.
Yeah. And if it, if the snake, the newly exposed skin, if the newly exposed snake were to just go like barreling through the woods, it would hurt itself.
Completely.
Like, mm-hmm. And so during times of forced inward work, forced stillness, forced quiet transformation of and trusting, we have to make sure we don't flail and say, I can't stand being still and just start pulling triggers all over the place. And then you've got a hot mess.
Yeah, the trigger thing is really, I think, intense right now because I am also witnessing like that there's this desperate need for quietness while systems are crumbling down. And I think that's normally the place that we've turned to self-medication practices of, I am going to run. I'm going to shut down. I'm going to shut everybody out of my life. I'm going to turn to alcohol. I'm going to turn to drugs. I am going to move across the country. I'm going to do anything that keeps me from actually leaning in and feeling what is actually transpiring right now. And that's really where the opportunity, I guess, lies within this eclipse is to lean into it and not choose those tactics because I think we've all been given the experiences that those tactics don't necessarily serve our highest good.
Yeah, because whatever you're dealing with is still there when all those things wear off. It's still there. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. And so I kind of wonder if whenever we post this, we'll still be, we're going to be in the Cancer eclipse energy for 2 weeks until the next one, even though the moon has moved on to another sign by the time this goes up. Right. So during, while we're recording this, we have a Cancer eclipse that we will still be in the energy of. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to say that that energy of Cancer, the thing about Cancer is that it's really good about giving care outward, but not very good at all about recognizing what it needs to come in. Mm-hmm. What do you need? Are you okay? And what do you need? And then first of all, instilling a practice of giving yourself what you need, like caring for yourself first, right? And not going around trying to drain people out.
Right.
And then be able to recognize that just being needed is not real connection. It's Cancer can fall into the more I'm needed, the more I'm loved.
Right.
And that's not love. That's mm-hmm. manipulation. Okay. Yeah. Like we have to, I think everyone needs to learn how to recognize what we need for ourselves and give it to ourselves and then start caring outward too. Let it reverberate into the world around us, caring for each other. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. And it brings up just this conversation I had this weekend about that whole piece about being needed in order to, quote unquote, be loved or how they are interlinked. And about how I think that this is a storyline that has been bought into for a long time about not being the own creators of our own validation, that we have been told the story that in order to be validated, it comes from somebody else recognizing our intelligence, our strength, our determination, our willpower to be a family member or create families. It comes from all of these other external forces that say, okay, now I see you, now you're validated, now you need me because I'm giving you this validation, and therefore this is love. And how much that storyline really has opened up this understanding of like, actually, if I'm not creating validation within myself, if I'm not validating the fact that I'm emotional, that I'm spiritual, that I am an amazing partner to myself and to another person, then that it doesn't equate to love. Like I'm still standing on the street corner being like, can somebody validate me please? Because
yeah,
you know, and like, yeah. That to me like opened up this understanding of like that's just another form of oppression that I have bought into. This is another narrative that I have been running in my brain of like, oh, I have to have a partner need me. I have to have a career need me. I have to have like my bills need me in order to be validated in this experience, in this reality.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed we're all in a time of massive change. Mm-hmm. And I've caught myself often feeling like I need someone here to tell me I'm doing a good job. And then I'm like, wait a second. Could it be that you need to be there for yourself in that way, that you've actually dropped yourself, that you, it's not that you need someone to come in and fill a gap. You are the gap. Could that be it? And then I'm like, yeah, because your life is a mirror. Mm-hmm. If you'll care for yourself more, different mirrors will show up. If you'll fill up that void within yourself first, then the voids will be less in the world around you. That life really is a mirror.
Yes.
I lose sight of that often. I lose sight. I still fall into wanting the mirror to change first, and then I change. That's not how mirrors work. You can stand in front of a mirror until you're dead and gone and wait for the mirror to change first, and it won't. Mm-mm. It's not going to.
No.
You have to change first, and then the mirrors change.
Yeah.
I still don't have that downright.
No, I think that's the process of evolving and unfolding and really stripping away these narratives. You know, like this weekend I was putting my clothes away and I heard this storyline come up where I wanted to create a story about a situation I had been in. And I was like, there it is. How unconscious the storylines and the narratives get kicked into my brain. And then I'm like, oh, I want an example of this so I can change it outwardly. Rather than recognizing, hey, I'm creating this storyline, I'm creating this narrative in my brain right now to dictate how I want to see these exterior things. Mm-hmm. Rather than being like, hey, actually, you know what? That story that's been played out for several years does not serve me, no longer choosing it. You can sit down and be quiet because I'm done with that voice. And then now all of a sudden I look in the mirror and it's completely different. Like the experience is different. The storyline's different. There's no narrative. There's spaciousness there where there once was not.
Yeah. I remember when I first recognized that I have the narrative of look what's been done to me. And I'm like, look what's been done to me. Wow. Right, is that right. The story? Is that the story? Or is it, look at what I have chosen for myself and it hurt. And I can choose differently. I can choose differently. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's the mirror. We choose how we want to go forward in life and the mirror shows up for us. Yes. Look what's been done to me is it's not the story at all. Mm-mm. It's not the story. It's needing to change inside here so that the outward experience reflects back. Right?
Yeah. And I think that requires a lot of vulnerability though with yourself and with the reality that you're interacting with, right? To be like that storyline of look what's been done with me, look what's been done to me. Is that really true to me? When I'm in my sacredness, is that really the story that I'm buying into? Look what's been done to me, that I've been like this victim mentality and the archetype of like, oh, all of this stuff has been put on top of me and I've had to work my way through it. Well, on one hand, yes. And on the other side, where's the vulnerability with yourself of like, I chose a lot of these things. I created a lot of these circumstances and they served me to get me to this point in time. So I have these grand awarenesses that I would not have without it, you know? And how could you be vulnerable and strip away that narrative of, oh, look what has happened? Because I think that's also another place that we've bought into, like keeping ourselves small and limited and isolated and have a wall up from that true vulnerable place of living. When you're in that place of I've created things and I've also hurt myself. I've done.
Yeah. And look what's been done to me is an incomplete story. Because if you follow pain or trauma or hurt or loss, if you follow that storyline all the way through, it eventually gets you to the point where you're grateful for those experiences because it affords you a level of compassion you would not have otherwise.
Right.
There's a whole lot that I've experienced when I honestly look back on it, real honestly, in quietness, when I look back on it, I would not undo it because I wouldn't be able to do what I do now had I not gone through something like that. I'm able to connect to people in a way that I would not have been able to had I been stuck up in a tower somewhere.
Yeah, you can. I think that's really, a couple of years ago, I sat with a teacher and he was telling me, he was like, you know, your sacred wound, the thing that stripped you raw, the place where you had the greatest trauma that you have difficulty talking about, that is where your healing is. That is where your offering is to the collective, to individuals, to your family, to work, to the world. That is your service to provide to the world. And at the time I was like, yeah, but that shit's ugly. Like, it is ugly. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to feel back into that. Like, that stuff was really ugly. And now the more I have become honest with myself about it, I have the same feeling of like, actually, that's where I have this gentleness that I can meet other people with, that if I were still stuck in that storyline of, oh, that went real fucking bad and poor me because I was part of it, I would not be able to open my heart and connect. I wouldn't be able to have compassion. I wouldn't be able to have empathy. I would not be able to have that humbleness of my experience has led me here so that I can lay down myself in service.
Yeah. And I talk about this often in readings with clients, is the way of a way shower is that you go through something first and then you're able to show other people the way forward from your own experience. Right. And so obviously that's a gift. It's a gift to be able to go, oh, I've been there. I'll show you. Come here. It's this way. But there's another layer to that too, that feeling of, I can't talk about this. I can't put this out in the open because it's ugly. Or you have shame, right, or I'm afraid I'm going to reopen it and I won't be able to close it again. Those kinds of things. You got to know that everyone feels that way about their pain.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. And so if we can come out in the open about what we've been through and say, either let's work on this together, or I've figured a lot of this out, let me show you what I figured out, then other people can come out too. And what I think, where I think the miracle is in there, is that there are lots of people, millions of people who are in the shadows, underneath the bed, in the closet, who feel like they cannot come out because they have no resources and no understanding about how to handle their darkness.
Right.
And there's someone out here thinking of them.
Right.
Someone out here, you,
yep,
who don't even know who they are, is thinking of them. That those times whenever you're like, I'm alone in my darkness, if you consider there's someone out there you don't even know who's thinking of you, who says, give me 5 more minutes, I almost got it figured out. That's a miracle.
It is a miracle. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, you can speak to this on the astrology. I think that is a theme that's really coming up with this eclipse and also these retrogrades of like, how does that feel to shift yourself back into that place of like, yeah, shit's gone really wrong. And how do I seek compassion? How do I move in an empathetic way forward? And, you know, I keep thinking about those, the boys and the coach that were just rescued from that Thailand cave. And about people that are just like coming to that and sacrificing themselves because they knew that they could help get the other kids out. Like, mm-hmm. And that is a requirement, I think, in a lot of ways, to shift these narratives that we've personally bought into, but also collectively bought into.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm considering during the time of all these retrogrades that are coming in and the eclipses is if we can learn to really care for ourselves in the soft spots, in the stillness, and in the chaos, in the unexpected, if we can love ourselves right there, if we can go, it's okay, that it really is okay, that no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens around us, no matter what we participate in, no matter what kind of choices we make, no matter what kind of mistakes we might feel like we're making, it's okay. It works itself out in some way in the long haul.
Yes.
I think the reason why retrogrades, this many retrogrades, is difficult for people is because we do have the very real experience of being dropped in life often. Mm-hmm. That life doesn't turn out how we thought it would, that we go through disappointment and loss and grief and pain and confusion. We have those very real experiences and it's hard to move through them. But if we can consider that even during those times, there's something bigger than us that's working it out, that's unraveling it, that's building the track in front of us, that's steering the boat. There is something bigger than us delivering us to where we need to be, even if we have to go through confusion first, even if we have to go through loss first, even if we have a jolt to our bodies, to our mind, to our circumstances, from the world. Even if we have to go through something like that, it's all going to work itself out. Promise. I've been doing this a long time. It always works out.
Yeah.
Loving ourselves enough. No, not enough. Excessively. Loving ourselves excessively in the brave vulnerability of you don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay. No matter what, you're going to be okay. Just keep loving yourself in that spot.
Yeah, it always, that brings up like the, you know, I think this is just universal law. When you're like, I'm no longer doing this. And you make that declaration within the universe, right? You're like, I am done with these types of relationships. And then a day goes by or 20 minutes goes by and knock, 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 ring, 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 hello. And like, there's real, like the same exact circumstance playing out, like wanting to tantalize you back into it.
It's an echo. Uh-huh.
Yeah, of how, no, like really like universe and spirit or God, whatever you want to call it, calling you back and be like, now how serious are you to this? Right? Like how serious were you to this commitment? And so like, I think that's up because of like, okay, if we know that we have to, if we know that we're being trialed right now on needing to lean into our feelings and needing to really hone in our self-care practices, then I also see that equally being like, you're going to be hit with the situations of like, how did you typically take care of yourself? Did you turn to bad relationships? Did you turn to alcohol? Did you turn to all of these numbing substances that kept you from actually feeling those things? Because if you're really truly committed to self-care and deepening that, this is not the time to be choosing those. You know, like I've been really aware, like I spent this last weekend at the ocean. I journaled the whole entire time. My diet is completely changing to like this very like, I've been in nutrition for 15 years. So like very focused on clean eating. But now I'm like getting a very clear hit of like, no, it needs to get even higher. Like you need to be moved even higher on foods that are really antioxidant and phytochemically rich, like foods that are like vibrationally higher level foods, because I can't stay like in anything beneath that anymore. Then it's, you know, time to tune in really and lean into how do you really take care of yourself when it feels uncomfortable?
Oh God, that's hard. It's so hard, right? Because we want to immediately get an immediate relief.
Yeah.
Immediate relief.
Yeah.
And what I think is interesting is that thing of that process of getting echoes, right? Mm-hmm. Getting the same experience again, not falling into, oh, I'm cursed forever. I'm never getting out of this,
right.
But holding firm on, no, I'm serious.
Right.
Seriously. I'm not doing this again. I've learned my lesson. What I think is interesting is that the planets or consciousness or life, however you want to see it,
right,
is not giving up on you.
Yep.
You can say, I'm done with this. And it's not going to go, oh, okay. It's not, no. It's like, you sure?
Yeah.
You sure? Because I'm going to make sure you mean it. Because consciousness cares.
Yeah.
Consciousness cares. Just as much as we care internally and we care outward towards each other or the planet or circumstances, whatever. However we care within life. Life itself cares.
Mm-hmm.
Life itself is not giving up on you. Whenever you go, I'm done harming myself. It's going to go, okay, here comes some darkness.
Yep.
And then you harm yourself. And it's like, okay, I figured you weren't done. So we're going to keep working on this.
Back again.
It doesn't leave. Mm-hmm. It doesn't leave. And sometimes it can feel like you're being picked on, but you're not being picked on. It's that consciousness is going, I'm not picking on you. I just believe in you. And I'm not letting you out of this until you heal it all the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
you have to sharpen your knife of like, this is how strongly I will stand up for myself. And consciousness is throwing at you rock after rock for you to sit there and sharpen your knife on if you choose to it. You know, like, so that your blade is really swift and clear that, oh, I see that coming. I told you I was done. I'm going to knock it away with my blade. I am literally cut cords completely with anything that is in self-harm or earthly harm or harm of anybody that I am in allegiance with or in allowance with.
Right. And so that's the windows of things like eclipses. Eclipses are called the bringers of change. They bring change that is big. It's sudden. It takes 6 months to adjust to it until the next eclipse seasons. And so during this current one, when we have three instead of two, we have three. And I think we get up to seven retrogrades during the same time, counting Chiron. Mm-hmm. Just like I read every chart, I'm reading this as, I keep looking at this as why. Why do we need three eclipses plus seven retrogrades? I think it's seven. Didn't we count it a second ago? I think we get up to seven.
With Chiron.
Why do we need that during a time whenever we're about to head towards Jupiter going into Sagittarius? Remember that in Sagittarius, that's where the galactic center is. Mm-hmm. The eye of God, the vision that God has for humanity is Sagittarian. That hope is always alive. We have unlimited possibilities, and the beliefs we hold will dictate the world we live in. Jupiter going into Sagittarius is going to reinforce what Saturn was saying, that be willing to stand up for what you believe in. No matter what, because no matter what is coming. That's Jupiter going into Sagittarius in November during the same month. The North Node goes into Cancer when we have to learn how to care for ourselves and each other. Mm-hmm. Right before that, we have this huge eclipse season. Why? And I think it's because we have to know who we are, know what we need, and give it to ourselves, and then learn how to care for each other. Learn how to care for each other. We talked weeks ago about apathy. Mm-hmm. And that thing about apathy, Mars is retrograde in Aquarius. The south node in Aquarius is going to go into Capricorn when the north node goes into Cancer. Apathy is a luxury of privilege, is my opinion. Yep. That privilege allows us to go, oh, I don't care.
Yep.
Or that's not about me.
Right.
And that's not true. Everything is about you. There is no separation. Humanity is one. Right. I think we're healing. I think that this eclipse season is having us heal our humanness because we need to care. The world needs for us to care. And you've got to start here. You've got to start right here with you so that the mirror has a chance to adjust.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I think the thing that I'm really aware of is that it may look really illogical. The way that we are being requested to care for our humanness and lean into our circumstances and see where we have created narratives and storylines where we've stepped out on ourselves or isolated or chose apathy and boundaries and walls to keep us separate and distance from one another. It may look real illogical that you may all of a sudden, like one of my girlfriends is ending up having gallbladder surgery and she's like, I'm just going to cut out an organ like that. Like there's nothing in my brain that says like, this is a logical move. And that everything within her is like, but this is how I heal myself. Like, this is how I actually heal. And like, I'm getting ready to move and start a completely new chapter. And like that on all forms of logic would be like, no, that seems very risky. But I also know very deeply that is what is being required of me to heal myself at this time and heal my humanness so I can help heal others. And to not, I guess, downplay that or to not allow the logical mind, which the mind is just such a trap, to get in the way of feeling into what is being presented to us through these eclipses and through these retrogrades.
Yeah. And so keep in mind that this Cancer eclipse, right, is opposing Pluto in Capricorn. It's a foreshadowing of when the nodes switch.
Right.
That when the south node is in Capricorn, the north node is in Cancer. South node is where we should not be. North Node is where we're headed. When the South Node goes into Capricorn, it will require us to not fall into old rules, old expectations, old paradigms, old traditions, old control mechanisms. We have to go forward into our vulnerability and say, who am I? Am I okay? What do I need? And follow that, trusting our own inner compass more than what's always been done before. Right. Because what's always been done before is collapsing.
It's completely collapsing. You know, I obviously work in the realm of food a lot, and helping people feel healthy in their bodies. And I follow food politics very closely because of it. And there was just a neurochemical agent approved to go back on the market and be sprayed on our food that was used during the Holocaust.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I, because of my background, get very like, no, this is okay.
No.
Let me lay the smack down on this. Like, absolutely not. But then also just like, that's part of the paradigm that is collapsing. And from the way, like, and this is just like a very simplistic way of seeing it, right? Like, the agricultural revolution started. We started spraying our food. We started concocting our food with, you know, lots of chemicals. And now all of a sudden we have disease rates higher than we've ever seen them before. And now we're putting neurochemicals back on the market to cover our food. And that is a complete paradigm that I truly believe is collapsing, because more and more people are becoming aware. Like, more and more people are going to the farmers markets. They are trying to actually eat clean food. And that's just another one of those places where I'm like, oh, this is the systematic oppression is collapsing, and it does require awareness and also gentleness with ourselves of, okay, and now what can I do? I'm aware of this information, and now what can I do to like help myself, help my neighbors, and help the earth?
Right. And you, and this is not, and I know that some people are going to think this for right now until it starts to materialize more and more and more into the mainstream. But this is not just hippy dippy bullshit. It's not. Uranus is in Taurus during a time of collapse of the control mechanisms that have been at play. You better believe that the way we grow food is going to revolutionize. Completely revolutionized. We're going to grow our own food again. Literally, we've talked about this before. Like, even in your apartment, you can grow food in your apartment. Yes, you can. Yep. It's going to change. I just saw where they're starting to build ways to grow food in underground caverns.
That's awesome.
I know. I mean, it's going to get wild. And yeah. it's because there is literally a system at play that's hurting us. Mm-hmm. And the more we recognize it, the more we're going to have to lean into our humanness, lean into the cancer of care. Eventually, we're going to have to lean into the Gemini of trusting our own thinking. Right now, we're in the middle of trusting our own hearts and what we love in Leo. Healing our humanness is going to have us go, that's falling. I'm not participating in that. So what are we going to do now? Uranus and Taurus. Building new worlds is not just like fairy talk about one day there'll be a new world. That's not what I'm saying. When I say we're building new worlds, I mean it literally. Yep. Literally. We're going to heal the earth itself. Mm-hmm. We're going to heal what we are part of the earth. We're going to heal our bodies. We're going to unplug from a system that has us under control and is hurting us. And we're going to rebuild how we're alive on earth. Literally, this is not just hippie talk. Like, here it comes.
Right. Yeah. I feel really emotional about that one. And I've got goosebumps all over me because I think it's the mark of truth. And I also recognize that when you start to get that flashlight out and that spotlight out of where are all the places that we've been in oppression, where are all the places that we've chosen narratives and storylines that were put in place to keep us in suffering, that there is an equal requirement to trim the fat or to do away that with the dead ends, to gather all of the dead firewood and burn so you can have a expansive new beginning. In releasing those dead ends and releasing those systems of oppression that can hurt and that can be really vulnerable. And I agree with you on the other side of it. It's not hippy dippy. It's not new age, like fairy tale stuff. Like the work that is being required is extremely real and requires such an expansive amount of vulnerability with ourselves and with humanity that we've never seen anything like it before. We don't have examples of it, and it's leaning into this unknown.
That thing about burning, for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe if I talk about it, it'll flesh out. I keep thinking of fires of tire fires mm-hmm. that burn for decades.
Yeah.
That we have to be careful not to torch everything in a way that's going to cause more harm. Right. That those tires could be repurposed into something else that we don't even know yet. Taking what's already falling, using those materials and turning it into something else. And I'm not just talking about repurposing into, you know, coffee mugs or whatever. I'm not just talking about that. I'm saying, how can we take what we know so far and evolve it into something higher?
Right.
Like, I don't think that we need to reinvent every single tire wheel on the planet. We don't. We know a lot already.
Right.
That thing about trimming out what's hurting us, mm-hmm. what's not necessary anymore, what doesn't have a place in healing, trim that out and then see what's left and what can we do with that?
Yes.
How can we turn it into something higher?
Yes. Completely.
Like all the plastic in the oceans, right? Like, oh fuck, what are we going to do about that? Well, there are people who are taking that plastic and turning it into something else.
Right.
Getting in it, cleaning out the ocean.
Yeah.
And turning that plastic into other things.
Into bricks for building homes.
Right. Right.
Into
wild shit. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And I also know like there is, you know, it's just interesting. Like, I think that we're all being asked to lean into sustainability in a lot different ways. And I don't just mean like, oh, I'm going to recycle or I'm going to compost, you know, like really, where is the commitment to being sustainable for yourself? Are you going to journal and go to yoga one day a week? Or are you going to like binge on pizza every day? Like, you know, like where are you being sustainable for your own self-care? And then equally, how can you be sustainable for the earth? As part of your lifestyle, as part of who you are, as part of what is being required of you at this point in time in reality.
That's right. Uranus and Taurus, it's revolutionizing what we value. Mm-hmm. And if you look around, there's a lot of what we've been, quote, valuing, that we've been doing it because we've been following a programming, a message that's been taught to us to keep us under control. Yep. Like, this is a silly example, or maybe it's not. If you look at my son's room, his room is literally overflowing with toys. Mm-hmm. And he even looks at it and goes, where did all this come from? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. How did he end up like this?
Right.
Right? Like buying into what we're supposed to find valuable and going, I don't think I care about this. What am I doing? What am I doing? Yeah. What am I doing?
Yes. There's a lot of that stripping away. I had that. And I think it maybe it does. Maybe it begins on the materialistic world. Maybe it starts there. And like you start looking at around where you've bought into this consumeristic mentality and you start seeing like that's where you've got junk lying around, whether it's clothes or cars or toys, whatever it may be, right? And then from there you can dive in deeper of like, but where have I bought into that consumeristic mentality that like I need to have more degrees? I need to work on different jobs. I need to stay in a relationship that doesn't serve me, you know, like, and then you can get into the underneath and the underbelly of like, but where have I been consuming storylines that are not my stories at all? This is not who I am as an individual. You know, maybe it starts on that surface level so we can dig in deeper.
Yeah. And it's all kinds of storylines, like the storylines of the holidays, right? Like, I'm starting to look at the holidays, and this is the breakdown in Capricorn too. Traditions are breaking down. Yep. If you look at, like, I've been talking to my son about this, like, are we going to do Christmas this year? He's like, I don't think we should. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't know why. Like, because you look up and you're like, does this belong to me?
Yeah.
Or am I just following stories that I didn't have a vote in?
Right.
Or I do have a vote in it, the more I uphold the story.
Right.
Like, we could look at the holidays as a time, if you're in the, if you're in this part of the world, when it's real, it's very cold. Mm-hmm. It's very cold out. Who needs help?
Right.
Looking around and being like, do you need help?
Yep.
Because I'll help you.
I'll make you a stew. Yeah.
Right.
Give you a coat. Yeah.
Or like with your friend, if your friends don't have family, be like, you want to come over?
Right.
Looking around and changing how we see life.
Yeah.
Changing how we see life. Like, during the quiet times, let's gather closer together. During the loud times, let's go out and build new things. Yep. See what I'm saying? Like, changing the way that we participate in the energies as they're trying to guide us. When they say, be still, you be still. And look around and say, first of all, am I okay? What do I need? And then look around and be like, are you okay? I don't know if I can help because I don't have a lot of resources right now, but are you okay? Because I'm at least here.
Right. I'm able to show up for you.
Right. That's when I get worried. I don't know if worry is the right word. Maybe it's concerned. But during a time of these retrogrades and massive change that not everyone is used to. If you don't follow astrology very closely, this can just feel like your life is fucked all of a sudden.
Right.
And that's not what's happening. Massive change is coming in, yes, but you need it. But so during that time of when you feel like life or people or energy is far away or retracted and massive change is coming in, I worry that people feel so far away that they start to drift off.
Mm-hmm.
When really we can get real still with ourselves first and then look around and be like, I see you. I feel that way too, but I see you. We're still here. It's okay. We're going to be fine. It's important.
It's very
important. It's important. It's part of the healing of our humanness that we literally are all in this together. And sometimes whenever I say that, I'm afraid, well, I'm not afraid, but I don't want to be interpreted as we're all in this together, like I'm a cheerleader. Like, yay! I mean, like, really, we are literally all in this together. The entire world is under the same sky. The entire world. We're all in this together. The planets, the energies, life, consciousness, whatever, is leading all of us into a direction.
And we're all composed of the same atoms and cellular structures. Like, that's the thing that always gets me, of like the same compounds found in my soil, nitrogen and phosphorus and oxygen, are also found in my body, just like they are found in your body, just like they are found in the ethers and where the planets exist and in space and on different planets. Like, they are all there. We are all connected of the same things. And I know, like, that can come off very much like, oh, she's a hippie. Like, oh, we're all, you know, like, very hippie dippy stuff, but legitimately from a cellular structure, we are all of the same. Okay. So how, given the fact that we are all under the same sky and we're all composed of the same atoms, and we're also in this immensely intense time with the eclipses and the retrogrades, and we all know that, like, we are going to be challenged on how do we take care of ourselves? How do we lean in? While also probably wanting to revolt, react, shut down. Like, what is that message there, you know?
I think that it's important to pay attention to the nodes. In my opinion, the North Node going from Leo and then into Cancer and then into Gemini is, I think that we're healing our humanness, healing how we can show up in our vulnerability, how our happiness matters, what's in it, how much we love, what we love matters, our own thinking matters, that if we can come back to the spot of being sovereign and free and here in our humanness, we'll care in different ways in the world. So whenever we feel like lost or confused, or like we want someone to tell us that we're doing a good job, or we want someone to tell us what to do next, or we want someone to give us the rule book so that we can do it right, when we're looking outside of ourselves for some greater other to take control of our lives, to go, no, I choose freedom. Yeah. I choose freedom. I'm going to stay right here and figure out who I am, what do I need, and give that to myself so that I can start giving outward in the world in a more authentic, feeling, human kind of way.
I completely agree. I had that moment this weekend, like I had a lot of awakenings, like I've mentioned with you, and came home and like, and I'll challenge anybody listening. Like I, let me just preface this saying, like, I know that I was a naysayer on doing mirror work where I would look in the mirror and be like, I love you. Right. Like, and try to like cultivate that self-love because I'm just not one of those people that tends to look in the mirror and can like have that dialogue with myself. However, this weekend I had been crying and had felt so spiritually wide open and heart open that I stood in front of the mirror just like crying and being like, that water, those waters that are so sweet and open and vulnerable, that is what you stand for and that's what I expect out of you. Like I had to strong arm my talk myself while looking in the mirror of like, this is what you are here for. And this, we will not accept any, I won't accept anything less than that. And it was a way for me to be really intimately vulnerable with myself because as much as it's vulnerable to journal about these things, I'm still sort of removed from seeing that I am a human being embodied in an actual physical body. I can distance myself from that a lot more with just having phone conversations and not seeing another person or journaling it out or meditating by myself. Like the actual act of having a mirror in front of you, whether it be a friend or the mirror physically, is huge in order to lean into that like intense vulnerability with ourselves.
Yeah, and along the lines of mirrors, the practice that I hold is whenever I feel confused or lost or like I've been dropped or people are far away, I come back to if we're all one, Susan, you've got to know that countless people feel the same way. So you keep showing up. I keep showing up because I'm like, oh God, well, somebody's got, we all need to start showing up for each other. Who's going to start? I guess I will.
Right. Yeah.
We got to keep showing up for ourselves. And then through compassion, understand that those spots of feeling like you don't know what the hell is happening during eclipses and lots of retrogrades, right? Those times, everyone feels that way. So keep up with yourself and then keep reaching out to people. You don't want to get drained out, but just know we're all there. We're all there. Give people lots of space to work through their stuff. You're going to see people spin out. Yep. You're going to see people go, oh fuck. And then they just like wig out and be like, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. You'll see, hang on. And then be there for people.
Yeah, and to take it back to being dropped in the water in that ship without any oars or on the roller coaster. Those ships hold more than one person. So do the roller coasters.
No. That's right. And we really are landing where we need to be.
Yes. Aho, thank goodness.